rain. Amen.
It's good to have you in the Lord's house with us today. Sunday school started last Sunday, and hope we're picking up momentum there. If you're not involved in Sunday school, we'd like for you to be. We have a class for all ages, and we're going through the procedure to keep everybody safe. We're social distancing and using hand sanitizer and all those things and masks. So if you're not involved in Sunday school, we'd be glad for you too. And we have a class for all ages. And so please consider that. If you're not already, we're down about 50 folks in Sunday school. We'd like to see that pick back up to where we were and then exceed that. Tonight, we will meet at 6 o'clock here in the auditorium for a business meeting, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. You would be able to see and hear what's going on and how the church is progressing and the things that are taking place and the plans for the future. So please come and be a part of that. Any other announcements? All right, let me lead us in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you and praise you for this day, for every blessing of life. Lord, I pray for each family that's represented here, those in the gym, those here in the auditorium, those that will be listening to us on the internet. We pray for them, lift them up. We pray for those that are sick, those that need your touch, need your healing. Lord, we lift those up to you today. Those with family difficulties, we pray for them. We pray, Lord, for the churches that are struggling during these difficult days. We just pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon them. We pray, Lord, that our ears would be sensitive to the guidance and direction of your Holy Spirit as we continue to go forward during these days. Thank you for those that are being saved. And we pray that you would continue. Help us, Lord, to see the harvest as white and ready. Help us to share you in every situation we're involved in. I pray that you'd be with the musicians and Brother Mike as he leads us, that your Holy Spirit would guide and direct. I pray for your anointing for the preaching time. Pray that you'd be with those that help in the children's ministry, that your hand would be upon them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
All right, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Here we go, higher ground. I'm pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still as I onward bound, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground, Lord, let me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. Oh, death, where is your sting? Stand in your love. Darkness tries to roll over my bones. When sorrow comes to steal the joy I own. When brokenness and pain is all I know. Oh, I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I song, you're going to repeat the verses after me. We've done this. It's been a while since we did this song. It's called For These Reasons. So I'll say, for your endless love, for your, you're going to echo everything I say until we get to the chorus. For these reasons.
For your endless love.
you're involved in Children's Church, you can take your place now. Appreciate the help we get there. You like that sound? I do. The church, with great power and great grace, Acts, the fourth chapter. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And it's a little short reading for me today. A little bit different, but here we go. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You may be seated. If you could name the one element that transformed or revived the new church, what would that be? Now, most of you know already. Was it because it was a praying church? And we've been studying in the book of Acts. We're now up to chapter 4. We talked about chapter 5 Wednesday night, but in this particular time, we're talking about this verse. So we know they were a praying church. When they prayed, the place shook. Was it because they were an evangelistic church? They shared the gospel with great power and thousands got saved. Thousands got saved. You think about moving from 120 in the upper room to 5,000 folks, that would be quite a deal. Was it because they were so free with their possessions? We'll talk about that just a little bit. When the Holy Spirit gets hold of you, what happens? And they were an exception, and obviously Luke thought it was a really extraordinary what had taken place, because they weren't doing what was natural for people to do. They were doing that which was supernatural for folks to do. They were sharing their possessions in such a marvelous way. They even sold their land and their houses to meet others' needs. Can you believe it? Well, the transformation is not in those things, even those things are great for the church. And we could be doing all of those. We could be doing all of those as a church, and it would be good, but it would not transform our church. It would not, we could be doing all those as individuals, but it would not transform our life. You see, it's not actions that transform us. It's the person who is living inside of us that transforms us. And so the answer I was looking for, and you probably already knew it, was it wasn't any of those things. It was the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in the life of those individuals. Look with me at John's Gospel, the 16th chapter. The fourth Gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It's got to be right here close, hasn't it? John 16. And look at verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient. It's the very, that word means it's the very best thing for you. I tell you the truth, it's the very best thing for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Now, we've been talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about how the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and filled them. How that it was evidence from the things that were taking place. They were able to look at people's lives and know whether or not they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They knew by their actions whether or not they were filled with the Holy Spirit. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when the person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. Did you notice that? Sometimes you can identify whether or not it is the Spirit by whether the Spirit is bragging on Himself or bragging on Jesus. It's apparent that the Holy Spirit always, always brags on Jesus. Where did I get to? He'll guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come. And He shall glorify me, for He shall receive of mine, and I shall show it unto you. The church in Acts acknowledged God's power. I'm so thankful for the Sunday school lesson this morning where we talked about God being on the throne. And by the way, He's still on the throne. He's still on the throne no matter what is taking place in your life. The devil will whisper in your ear and tell you things that are not true. By the way, that is absolutely his character. He is a liar. The Bible says, Jesus said He was a liar from the beginning. He's a liar. And He whispers things in your ear and in my ear that are not the truth to discourage us. And He also makes things bigger than what they really are. He makes your circumstances, if it's a difficult deal, He makes that difficulty in your life seem, He will whisper to you that it is bigger than what it really is. He's a liar. He's a liar. And God is still on the throne. Look at Acts 4 and verse 24. And when they heard that, they heard that this persecution that was coming on them, they'd been charged not to preach in Jesus' name anymore. When they heard that, they lifted up their voices to God. Now look at this. They lifted up their voices to God with one accord. They were all in agreement with what this says, with one accord, and said, Lord, Thou art God, which hath made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is. They recognized the power of God.
They expected God to do that only God can do. I know I've said this lots of times, but for you and me, are we living in our lives in such a way that we're expecting God to do that only God can do? Or do we just expect God to operate on our level, what we can do? God can do what we can do. We need to be living our lives expecting God to do that only God can do in the life of a Christian, because the Holy Spirit of God is living within us. You can be obnoxious without the power of the Holy Spirit, but you can't be a bold witness without His power. And there's a lot of difference. There is a lot of difference. You and I really can't do the job that God has called us to do. We can go through the motions, but we really can't do the job that God has called us to do without the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. You can be a jerk of a husband and father, but you can't be the husband and father that God has called you to be without the power of the Holy Spirit. And we just go on and on, couldn't we? I mean, husband, wife, child, obedient child, obedient worker, doing your job at work, on and on and on. You can't do what God has called you to do without the empowering of the Holy Spirit in your life. Secondly, the church was experiencing unnatural generosity because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 34 in chapter 4. Neither was there any among them that lacked. Neither was there any among them that lacked. And we talked about this Wednesday night, about Ananias and Sapphira, when Peter asked them, why did you do that? Why did you lie to the Holy Spirit? Because there was not anyone in their midst that lacked. Ananias and Sapphira didn't lack anything. They just saw that people bragging on Barnabas, and they wanted that in their life. They didn't want to do what it took, but they thought that feeling would fulfill them, which it never does. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of land or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold. When God gets hold of man's hearts, He gets hold of his pocketbook. Is that true in your life and in mine? I don't preach on giving very much. Hardly ever. We've talked a little bit about giving during this pandemic that is going on. We've told folks how they can give. Matter of fact, we haven't taken any offerings while this is going on. Did you know that? Did you know the church hasn't taken an offering in 6 months? We've given folks an opportunity to give. There's some offering plates at the door that you can give in if as you leave. But it's not passed before every person. You can give online if you want to. We've got an opportunity for folks to do that, and we've encouraged folks to do that. And you'd say, well, Brother Lane, you're kind of bending that thing. You say we haven't taken an offering. But did you know that our finances have not changed in 6 months? When God gets hold of men's hearts, He gets hold of their pocketbooks. And if God does not have hold of your pocketbook, if you are stingy with your money toward other people and toward the church, if you're stingy with your money and you're keeping it for things of yourself, He obviously doesn't have a hold of your heart. If I'm keeping those things for myself, He obviously does not have hold of my heart. Because when He gets hold of your heart, He gets hold of your pocketbook too. I heard a story about a man that was getting ready to be baptized, and they went down into the water, and all at once the man realized that he had his wallet in his back pocket. And he told the pastor, he said, "Hang on a minute." He said, "I still have my wallet in my pocket." And the man thought for just a second. He said, "Oh, let's go ahead." He said, "I want that baptized too." And that ought to be true in all of our lives. We need to have that baptized too. Not physically, but we need to have that baptized too. That needs to be a part of what God is doing in our lives. And it certainly was a part of what God was doing in their life. This, in these uncertain days, we have a God that is still on the throne. Look at Luke 12 and verse 22. And He said unto His disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on." We're living in some uncertain days, aren't we? Well, here the Scripture tells us not to give any thought to that. Not to give any thought for those uncertain days. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Your life is more than making a living. It's more than what you set on the table. Now, it seems like the older we've gotten, that's our main. I don't know what to call it. That's our main sport, I guess. Now, is going out to eat, finding some new place to eat. But here, Jesus said, "It's more." It's not what you eat. It's not the raiment that you put on. It's not the kind of clothes. Life is much more than that, He says. And so, verse 24, He begins to talk about the ravens and the lilies. "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse or barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are you better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit?" I was reading this passage a few days ago, a couple weeks ago, I think it was. And it was a pretty difficult day, it seemed like. And it seemed like that I was more anxious, worried. I'll just use the word. Worried about things than I should have been. And I read this passage, and the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, you can't make yourself any taller. That's what He said, isn't it? You can't make yourself any taller. You worry about some strange things. "And which of you, with taking thought, which of you, by being worried, can add to his stature one cubit?" Now think about it. And if you then be not able to do that, that thing which is least, why take you thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that you have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth and neither moths corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. May I introduce you to this friend of mine. Are you awake yet? Who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine. Isn't that good stuff? He hangs out the stars and he tells the sun when to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew, but he's not too busy to care about you. We, help me, would you? We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. Boy, I had a lot of help on that. I couldn't hear anybody. The transformed church, the church in revival, brings out the best and it brings out the worst in people. A church in revival, we've been talking about this for several months, haven't we? Well, several years maybe. A church in revival brings out the best and it brings out the worst in people. It brings out people like Ananias and Sapphira. When the devil gets hold of people, they become liars and cheats and thieves and hypocrites. When revival comes, people like Barnabas come out of the woodwork. Boy, I like Barnabas. I'm just anxious to meet him. I think he's the kind of guy that you'd want to hang around. He's the kind of guy that will come along beside you and encourage you no matter what is going on in your life. When my dad passed, it was a big surprise. He wasn't sick. At least we didn't know it if he was. He died on the job. Just melted in the floor and never spoke another word. He was quite a bit younger than I am now. And our family had gathered at the house. We were getting ready to have the funeral the next day. And it was some pretty rough times. And me and my brothers were standing out in the yard. And one of Dad's best friends, that they had been friends for years and years and years together, came. And he walked up. We were kind of standing in a semicircle. And he walked up and just stood in the circle. And he didn't say anything. And finally he said, "Boys, I don't know what to say." And he never said anything. But he just stood there. He was a Barnabas. He was an encourager. You see, you don't have to say anything to be a Barnabas. All you have to do is suit up and show up. You just have to do what God is calling on you to do. We always feel like that we have to say something. We have to maybe do something. But sometimes in order to be a Barnabas, all we have to do is just show up and just be there. When the other disciples were afraid of Paul, it was Barnabas that went and got him and brought him to the disciples. When John Mark wasn't steady, it was Barnabas that took him with him. When Paul wanted nothing to do with him. And when Paul was giving instructions about what to bring him, some things that he needed, he said, bring John Mark with you. I can use him. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Because old Barnabas got beside of him and he just lifted him up. He just lifted him up. There are times when all of us need a Barnabas in our life, an encourager in our life. The Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom." Did you get that? Let me say it again. The Bible says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." Give and it shall be given unto you. Give and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. So the scripture teaches that when you need a Barnabas, you are to become a Barnabas to other people. When you're needing a Barnabas, you need to become a Barnabas to other people. And that's one of the most difficult times for you to be a Barnabas is whenever you're needing encouragement yourself. That you need to come alongside someone else and be a Barnabas in their life. Let's stand together. If you're here today and not a Christian, I want to urge you to make that decision for Christ. If you are a Christian, I urge you to pray for those who are not yet Christians. I don't know of any time that it's been any more important for folks to make decisions for Christ than it is now. None of us have ever known if we had tomorrow to make a decision for Christ or not. None of us have ever known if we have the next day or the next afternoon or this afternoon to make a decision for Christ that the Lord is dealing with us about. So I want to urge you today that if you're here in the gym, in the sanctuary, or if you're listening to us by some other source, that if you're not a Christian, that today you would accept Christ as your Savior. Now, when we give an invitation at the end of a church service, we give folks an opportunity to come and join the church. If they haven't been baptized, if they're Christians, that they could follow the Lord in baptism. If they are a member of another church and they want to join our church, they would come and ask for their church letter to be transferred to this church, and they'd become a member here. And that, I hope that that invitation just goes almost without saying. I try to mention it every Sunday, but that invitation is for you if you're in that situation. If you're over in the gym or if you're listening by some other source, well, then you would need to come and talk to me about that, and we would present you to the church as a church member. But I want to talk to you about receiving Christ as your Savior and praying a sinner's prayer and asking the Lord to forgive you and come into your heart and be your Savior. Would you pray this prayer with me today if you're not a Christian? Would you pray this prayer to receive Christ as your Savior? And I'm going to ask those of you that are Christians to pray for those that are not Christians, that they would pray to receive Christ as their Savior today. Now, I tell folks this all the time. I've had the privilege of being able to pray with a lot of folks in my office, there at that old coffee table, and them to pray to receive Christ as their Savior. And I tell them every time, it's not doing me any good to pray this prayer. I've already prayed it and received the Lord as my Savior. So for me to pray it doesn't mean anything. And if you don't pray it out of the sincerity of your heart, it won't mean anything to you. But if the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart today, and you know you want Jesus as your Savior, that's sincere. If the Spirit's dealing with you and you know you want to become a Christian, that's sincere. So I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me, and you others that are Christians, you pray for those that are not Christians today as I pray this prayer. I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray it after me. Heavenly Father, I know that I'm a sinner and lost. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sin. Come into my heart and be my Savior right now. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sin. I receive you as Savior right now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, we'd like to know about it. We'd like for you to either call us on the phone or come and see us. Or if you're in the gym or in this auditorium, would you come forward as Mike sings this invitational number and either come to me or one of these other guys and let us know that you've received Christ as your Savior, so we can celebrate with you. And then your next step would be to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. So as we sing, you come.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed.